This is Olympic champion Scott Hamilton. Yes, the real Scott Hamilton. And you're listening to the other Scott Hamilton show, where you should be entertained, informed, and maybe even amused. Just don't expect any backflips. I mean, have you seen him skate?
Smoking tire, Trent. Smoking tire,
to say the least.
Yeah, well, our buddy Joe Person, he broke the story. He broke it for The Athletic. He's joining us now to say Tama Hotline. Joe, a belated Happy New Year, bub.
Hey, man. Happy New Year.
What's going on at Carolina, man? I mean, I read your article. Very good reporting, by the way. Excellent. You had a lot of sources in that. How bad is it behind the scenes? What are they telling you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. I mean, you just rattled off a lot of the numbers. But, you know, always things are always worse when you're losing. Like, I think some of these things, you know, Matt Rhule coming from college and implementing a lot of these college type practices and just sort of the way he runs the program might be tolerable by these, you know, pro players and these veterans. Not that they have a ton of veterans if the Panthers were winning, but they're not. And so that causes people to start questioning players, coaches, front office, to start questioning the process. Is this working? Is this plan that Matt Rhule has, which involved getting younger in a hurry, but slowly building that up, is it really going to work? And there's some people in the building, as you said, man, that are questioning it.
It just seems to me, Joe, to be almost destined to fail from the beginning. And, I don't expect you to editorialize too much. You're going to give us the facts. But he's a young coach with no NFL experience, and the person in the general manager's seat is almost more of a co-general manager. He doesn't have really player personnel power. That's the way I took it from the article. Would they be better served with an old-school GM, or not even an old-school GM, but a guy who has NFL experience, who has final say on all those moves? Would they be better off that way?
Probably, but you think Matt Rhule wants that? I mean, that gets back to the heart of it, is Matt Rhule. And look, he's not the only guy. Like, this is who college guys are. I mean, Steve Spurrier, Urban Meyer. Like, they are used to having the final say in everything that touches football, from recruiting, which equates to obviously personnel here, you know, nutrition, strength, medical stuff, health stuff, and frankly, I think sometimes they can go too far with it. I mean, in Matt Rhule's case, you know, that means, and listen, Matt Rhule is a smart guy. Like, he has coached offense, defense, special teams at every level. He's forgotten more football than I probably know. But sometimes when you have that background in all three phases, then you are sort of like getting your hands on all of it. You know, and Ron Rivera had the defense. He when Sean McDermott was here, he let Sean McDermott do his thing. When McDermott left, Rivera took a more handsy approach. But my point is, Ron never touched the offense. And I just think sometimes, as I said, with Rhule, he knows so much about all this stuff that he has a tendency to want to get hands-on and probably a little, do a little more than he should.
Is there any franchise, perhaps maybe other than New England, that's been able to have a coach have his finger in all the pies and still succeed?
You know, yes, it's a good question, and obviously Belichick's a great example, Parcells years ago, and to a lesser extent, Pete Carroll. I mean, you mentioned you referenced the Panthers GM, Scott Fitterer. Fitterer came from Seattle. And when he was hired, he said that this arrangement between him and Rhule was similar to what Pete Carroll had out in Seattle with John Schneider, where Carroll had the final say, but you know, Schneider brought a lot of know-how to the table, and the two sort of had this collaborative effort that worked, and you know, worked to the tune of one Super Bowl appearance and or one Super Bowl win and another Super Bowl appearance and a whole bunch of playoff appearances. So, you know, all of this stuff is really interesting. I was fascinating when I reported that story. I think it all has merit and is worth talking about. But the bottom line, and you know this, Matt Rhule and Scott Fitter and the Carolina Panthers are going to fail or succeed depending on whether they get their quarterback next year. They have missed out on really 0-3 if you count Cam, who was sort of an emergency guy. So maybe he doesn't count, but they certainly swung and missed at Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold. Another swing and a miss, and Matt Rhule's coaching colleges in 2023.
Joined by Joe Person of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person. And, Joe, I'm glad you mentioned that, because earlier in the show we played a clip from over the weekend, Matt Rhule talking about Sam Darnold's performance against the Saints, or rather, yeah, against the Saints. And he said it was, quote, a growth opportunity, and then later said he's growing. Joe, there's only one game left in this season. That leads me to believe they intend on bringing him back.
They pretty much have to. I mean, they foolishly, like, if you, you know, we can debate them trading for him. You know, they had missed out on Matthew Stafford. They were in on Watson, and then the Watson, Deshaun Watson stuff went sideways with the legal deal. And so they were kind of like holding the bag. They had already decided to move on to Teddy Bridgewater. So they go get Sam Darnold. They're going to see if a change of scenery and all this. Now, they gave up 3 draft picks. But to me, the real crime was then, before he ever played a down, they picked up his fifth-year option. At $18.9 million, which is not crazy money, but it limits what you can do elsewhere. So Sam Darnold will be back on this team next year. They're not going to find a trade partner for him, but their intention is for him to be probably one of the higher-paid backups in the league, and that Sam Darnold's a clipboard carrier behind Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson, who could come available. I don't think Russell Wilson will come here, but somebody, my point is, Darnold's back here getting paid a lot of money to be the number two quarterback.
How aggressive will Carolina be if Deshaun Watson's exonerated, or at least all that legal stuff, you know, goes into the background, he settles or whatever?
I had someone tell me, a team source that said, I would expect the Panthers to be on speed dial with Deshaun Watson. We'll see. I mean, like, right. I mean, he first has to get that cleared. And the second piece of it is whereas last year, even as recently as the trade deadline, you really only had a couple few teams that were at least publicly known to be in on Watson. And that was the Eagles, Dolphins, Panthers. You're going to have, I think, another 4 or 5 teams, because teams went through this season and realized the quarterback they had wasn't very good. Or in the case of Pittsburgh, you got Roethlisberger retiring, alleged, reportedly. You've got in Denver, you've got the Teddy Bridgewater 1 year – kind of went the same route the Panthers did the year before. Denver needs a all these guys. So, you know, first you got to make sure. I mean, Deshaun's made it pretty clear he wants to play in Miami. So, did they see enough in Tua this year, that they pass on the Watson sweepstakes? It's going to be a fascinating, every NFL offseason fascinating. But at that quarterback position, when you've got the Aaron Rodgers rumblings, the Russ Wilson rumblings, and then Watson sitting out there, it's going to be must-see theater.
And, Joe, before we let you go, the offense has struggled mightily this year, partly because of the quarterback issue, partly because of the offensive line issue, and I'm willing to think significantly because of Christian McCaffrey not being around yet again. Two-part question, we'll walk off on this. How much of the offensive struggles are going back to Christian McCaffrey? How much of the offense was predicated upon trying to really leverage his skills? And what do you see in his future? Will he be a Carolina Panther 2022?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of the offense was based on McCaffrey and built around McCaffrey. And yeah, I think he's going to be here. I mean, I think they should probably start using him a little bit more in the slot than they have. I mean, he's obviously catch a lot of passes already, but it's just, he's just shown that, and it's frankly, it's surprising it took 3 or 4 years for this to be demonstrated, because you talk to scouts from that draft from a few years ago when the Panthers, like Dave Gettleman at the time, and there was a group inside the building that liked Leonard Fournette because of his size and strength and power, and there were concerns about McCaffrey's durability. Well, they have kind of reared their ugly head here of late. But, yeah, I think he's going to be back, obviously. I mean, could they trade him? I think so. But it's a team would have to take on a whole lot of money for a guy who's missed most of the last two seasons. So, to your bigger point, offensive line is, quarterback and offensive line are 1 and 1A this offseason. And it's going to be an interesting dance. And they're going to pick high. So I think you either say we're getting our O-line, or we're getting our left tackle at 5 or 6, or we're potentially trading back for like a Kenny Pickett. And then, you know, and you still might go get Deshaun Watson. So many interesting variables to figure out here in these coming months.
Yeah, the off season is going to be way more interesting than the regular season, Joe.
You're not kidding.
He's Joe Person of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Joseph Person. Joe, again, that's really excellent reporting, man. Really, really good job. Appreciate you coming on today.
All right. Appreciate you, buddy. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, bro. It's Joe Person of The Athletic joining us on the Saitama Hotline.